Ah, no hay nada más satisfactorio que dejar tu casa completamente limpia. Excepto, tal vez, los ahorros de Labor Day. Ahorra en todos tus artículos de limpieza favoritos como el OC Dirt Spin Mop y Fabuloso. Y con entrega gratis en productos seleccionados, pídelos hasta la puerta de tu casa. Con los ahorros de Labor Day en The Home Depot, haces más, logras más. Sujeto a disponibilidad. Consulta homedepot.com / delivery para más detalles.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, the founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. Today, I'm very excited because I have a wonderful guest I'd like to introduce to you. Her name is Julie B. Julie is an award-winning entrepreneur, compassionate and empathetic leader, and engaging storyteller. Julie has spoken for 14 and plus years on topics including leadership, management, employee engagement, and morale, workplace culture, small business ownership, and entrepreneurship. Julie's leading insights have been featured on Fast Company, Forbes, Thrive Global, and many more. Her forthcoming book with Matt Holt Books, The Business Owner Guide to Burnout, is scheduled to come and hit the bookstores early in 2024. So, wow, Julie, you have a lot going on for yourself. So why don't you, you know, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and all these great accomplishments that you've been, accomplishing over the course of the years.
Sure, Stacey. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoy doing these and appreciate being on your show. So I've been a business owner for a little over 14 years now, and I run two businesses right now. I have a marketing agency and then my speaking and leadership consulting company that you talked about. And I really work with business owners to help them with what I call their VIPs, their very important problems, and their very important possibilities, to help them basically move their business in the direction they want to go in. And I really focus a lot on helping the business owner become a leader of leaders. I think a lot of the times us business owners kind of get stuck in this leader of managers role. And it's really hard to grow your business if you don't bring up other leaders within your business. So that's really where I focus these days.
You know, we need that, I think, more often now, especially nowadays. Like a lot of small business owners, I feel either they don't know how to properly manage their business, or they just don't have the leadership qualities within themselves to actually direct their employees in the right direction. Do you find that also is true?
Yeah, and it's usually what I think a lot of people don't understand is that leadership starts with leading yourself first. It starts with self-leadership. And there's a lot of reflection that you, to become a really effective leader, you kind of have to really, really, really know yourself well first. Know the good things and the not so great things about yourself, because then that can help you become an effective leader. And that really starts with self-leadership. I firmly believe that you kind of have to walk the walk, and, you know, you can talk the talk, but you got to walk the walk before you can really lead somebody else. And I think that is something that, you know, you can't really learn that at a seminar. That's something that you can, you know, pick up nuggets at a seminar, but it's something that you have to practice every day in and day out. And some days you're better at it than others. And that's also part of the leadership journey. But then once an individual kind of gets that figured out, I think that then they can start bringing up other leaders to, you know, help them in their business, whatever it is. Even if they're working in a corporation, to help manage their team and all of those things. So a lot of business owners get stuck though. And if you can't bring along other leaders in your business, what I see a lot of business owners deal with is they end up burning out, which is something that I've experienced several times, and I'm also really passionate about it, especially for business owners. And that's kind of what I want to help them not do. I want to help them avoid burnout.
I see that all the time. Now, when you talk about leadership in the beginning, and you talk about first, in order to build leadership, you have to really, you know, look at your, the good things about yourself and the bad things about yourself. And, you know, sometimes people have a hard time actually seeing where their faults are. Now, you know, how do you help somebody where they see where their strengths are, but it's hard for them to actually come to realization and accept what their faults are, their weaknesses are?
There's a couple of assessments that I really love to use because that really gives you an objective measure of things. One of them is called the Big Five assessment, and a lot of people use this. It basically breaks an individual down in five different characteristics, and that can really help somebody see, you know, whereas they might be very resilient, maybe some of the things that they, you know, maybe they don't have as much tact as actually one of my things. I'm super resilient and I'm very blunt though. So, you know, that's kind of, it is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something to know about yourself.
Yeah.
So that if you're leading someone, let's say, who maybe isn't quite as resilient as you are, or who maybe expects a little bit more tact, you know that going in, and that you know that about yourself going into that situation. So I really, when it comes to knowing yourself, I really like to lean on assessments because they are objective.
Right.
And you can usually, along with assessments, there comes a plethora of tools. Another one I really like is the StrengthsFinder assessment, because that really helps you know what your strengths are.
Yeah.
And also it will also kind of rank, it ranks, I think, 34 characteristics, 1 to 34, and you know, number 34 is probably a weakness for you, and it helps you kind of know who to surround yourself with. So that's how I really like to help my clients know themselves a little bit better, because that is really objective. You can't, you really cannot throw those assessments off because so many people have taken them.
And you talk about the five main assessments to find out what your true weaknesses are. What are those actual five assessments that, you know, people have to really focus on?
So, well, it's one assessment tool, and it's called the Big Five, and it has five characteristics that it ranks you on. And it's resilience and tact is one of them. And openness is another one, and compassion is another one, and I'm blanking on the fifth one, but there's like five characteristics, and it digs into each one of those, and there's like sub traits for each one of those. And that has been consistently every employee I have takes that. In fact, I have some people that I'm planning on working with, and even if they're not going to become an employee in a very close contractor relationship, I'll have them take it so that like we know each other before we really start working together. And it's really helped. It brings down walls and it brings down barriers, and it helps communication quite a bit. And in terms of leadership, it helps you know yourself better. Right. And I love the objectivity of it all.
Now, I see so many people, like I've known so many businesses over the course of the years. I even work with Arianna Huffington, and she even wrote a book about sleep deprivation because she experienced burnout herself. And, you know, I see it with a lot of people that I know that own businesses and run businesses and manage. And, you know, at some point, you know, you work so hard, you're putting so many hours in, and you're still not at that point where you want to be, or you're not making enough income, even though you're bringing in the consumers and you're bringing in the clients, you know, at the end of the day, you're still not where you need to be. And how do you help that person so they don't reach the burnout? Like if they're not reaching their goals, but they're burning out. And once you burn out, you can't be productive. So what do you do with that person? Like, how do you help them?
So that's really, I would say that's a two-pronged approach. The first thing is with the burnout, like you're not going to help anybody and you're not going to make very much money at all if you're burned out. So that is the first thing you got to address. And sleep deprivation is a great example of what I call a warning sign or a red flag of burnout. It's something that, you know, it's our own behavior. Yeah. It's not something somebody else outside of us is causing. And it's one of mine too. And what I really try to get business owners to understand is you don't go from, you know, getting a solid 7 or 8 hours of sleep every single night, or for some of us, 9 or 10 hours of sleep every night, to getting 4 hours of sleep a night. You don't go from you know, that to, there is a scale. And the first thing I always ask business owners to do is if they can, sometimes they can't even do this, but identify what their baseline is. So what is their, you know, normal. And for example, for me with sleep, I know that I need to get about seven and a half hours of sleep during the week. Right. And then I usually get like 9 hours of sleep on the weekend. Mm-hmm. If I go for now one or two nights, you know, here and there, that's not a major red flag for me. But if I go about 2 weeks and I'm outside that normal, that is a danger zone for me. And I know that I'm heading towards burnout. So the first thing to, I think, prevent burnout is to understand what burnout looks like for you. Mm-hmm. Have a couple of those things. And also know what normal looks like for you on those scales so that you can address it before you get all the way. You might be really stressed out about something, but before stress turns into burnout, maybe you can address it and pay more attention to your sleep. So that's the first part of it. Now, the second part of your question, you know, how, if you're burning out, before you're really getting to be profitable or making enough money. I mean, those are questions. There's a lot of reasons for that, right? Like sometimes it might be, the business owner is focusing on work that they actually need to not focus on. Sometimes they are procrastinating from doing the thing that's going to make them more money. That happens a lot.
Oh yeah. I see that.
You know, sometimes they're just not charging enough. You know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes there is some type of financial adjustment that needs to happen, whether it's pricing or, you know, their overhead is too high. Sometimes those are all things that can happen. But in that scenario, like if somebody comes to me in that scenario, we have to address the burnout first, because otherwise the business owner is never going to be able to address, you know, whatever the challenges in their business. So it's, you've got to take care of yourself, especially if you're, you know, if the business really relies on you, you've got to take care of yourself, because otherwise you're not going to have a business at all. So burnout first, then we get into the business problem.
Now, does everyone have the same symptoms for burnout, or is it different for every individual?
It is different for every individual. You know, sleep there. I mean, there are a few that are common. Sleep is one that's pretty common. That's something that I hear a lot of. The other one that I hear a lot of is that they don't want to go to work in the morning. You know, if you're a business owner and you don't want to go to work in the morning.
Yeah.
That's a major problem. Right. So, you know, those are two that I hear quite a bit. But after that, it really varies. I mean, from everything to like one of mine is a sign that I'm in burnout is I will cancel doctor's appointments because I think I don't have enough time to go to my, you know, checkup or whatever it is. I will literally cancel doctor's appointments. And that is one of my red flags. So it's important for business owners, again, to you don't have to know all of them, but just to know a few that are signs of burnout that really are your signs of burnout, and then pay attention. Another one that I do and that I actually hear other people talk about as well is saying something like, I just have to get through fill in the blank this month, this quarter, this big presentation. You know, I just have to do this. And then one of my business friends, he calls it the and thens. You know, if you say that a lot, you may be approaching burnout, and that's another sign. But it comes down to, there's usually physical symptoms. There's attentional problems, which is you can't form a complete sentence, or you have a really hard time focusing and getting anything done.
Right.
And then there's emotional, which is, you know, you might be more irritable, or you might just be completely numb and shut down. Like there's a lot of different signs, but they usually fall into those three categories, the physical, attentional, and emotional burnout.
Now, how does a person suffering from burnout, like what is the ways that you could actually help that person? Does someone have to point it out to them? Does the person inside really know that they're burning out?
That's a great question, Stacy. And I'll tell you, a lot of times it is somebody else. Usually the first and second time, I would say, especially with business owners, it's someone else pointing out, like, I think you might be burned out. Because what's interesting is in this community, there's a stigma around burnout. There's this, you know, you picked this career path, so you just have to suck it up and do it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we did pick the career path, but I don't believe the you just have to suck it up and do it part is very helpful, especially when people
definitely not. Yeah.
But there's a stigma around business owners saying, you know, I'm burned out, because it is, I think, you know, no matter where it's coming from, yeah, we did pick this path. And a lot of us have, I think, been taught or been led to believe that you just kind of have to suck it up. And sometimes you do. I mean, that's business, but not to the extent that it is, you know, really negatively impacting your health. That's that's where you've got to pay attention and say, okay, I had to have this, you know, emergency surgery, or
like,
I've heard heart attacks, strokes, divorces, near divorces.
Yeah.
You know, multiple employees resigning very quickly within a short period of time. And what's fascinating is a lot of those times, a lot of that can be tied back to the business owner being burned out.
Yes.
So it's not just the business owner that's impacted. It's everybody around the business owner is impacted by their burnout.
So what are the first things you do to help a person with burnout? What are
So usually the very first thing is we have to make some space. And I know that phrase gets thrown around a lot, but it's not always about time.
Mm-hmm.
Space is energy. Space can be a location. Like, I've literally worked with business owners where they said, I can't bear the thought of going into the office every day of the week.
Yeah.
And I have said, how about you just work from home then on Mondays and Tuesdays?
Right.
And just that of changing their physical location for a couple of days a week made a huge impact. So when I say making space, it can mean something along those lines of making a different physical space.
Right.
It can mean making space on your calendar, but you've got to make space. And the first way you do that, I believe, is you got to say no to anything new.
Right.
Business owners love to chase rabbits down rabbit holes and shiny objects, because, you know, that's part of what makes us successful is we do see those opportunities and we go after them. But what I've found is that when a business owner is burnt out, they're more likely to be chasing something. And so I will tell them, first and foremost, just, you got to say no to new on most, you know, most things that come across your radar. Like, if it's an opportunity, you know, it'll probably be another opportunity that comes along and you'll be better able to deal with once you're through burnout. There are always outliers to that, but in general, I preach just say no to new in this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also look at business initiatives you can pause. So, for example, if you decided that you needed to hire a new marketing agency or a new CPA,
that
can take a lot of effort depending on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be something, if you've got a CPA or you got a marketing agency and they're doing okay, that might be something you put a pause on. That might be an initiative you just say, we got to hold up on.
Yeah.
Now, if you're moving offices and you're, you know, legally, you have a lease and you're legally obligated to move and you're about 80% of the way through that, then that's something you probably want to go ahead and continue.
Yeah. Right.
So even that has some, you know, if this, then that's, but those are the first two things we do to make space to help the business owner deal with burnout. We say no to new, and then we look at larger business initiatives that can be temporarily paused in order to give the business owner some breathing room, basically.
Now, are there times when you look at the person that you're dealing with, your client, and you see them get into a point where they're destroying their life, their health, mm-hmm. the people around them, just by the stress that they're enduring? Do you ever suggest to somebody that maybe you need to take a step back and maybe you're not in the right business? Maybe you should take your talents and try to do something else because, you know, it's not working?
Yeah, I've had those conversations. And again, the assessments help a lot with that because, you know, if somebody's in, most business owners are required to sell, and that can, you know, they're required to be decent salespeople. And that can be one of those things where we can look at an assessment and say, you know, maybe it's your, maybe it's the role in your job first. Like, let's look at the role that you have in your job and your business first. Or there, is there a shift that needs to happen? Does this person need to actually do this other thing? And can they, and all of those things. So we can look at that. But yeah, I mean, I have had conversations with business owners where, you know, they have given it a really good, I would say, college try, and it maybe just isn't the right business for them. Yeah. But what I try to do in those scenarios is, first of all, you know, normalize it. A lot of us have started businesses that did not, you know, work out right off the bat. Like, that's a pretty normal thing in entrepreneurship. And then secondly, like, let's figure out what we can salvage from what you've done, from what you've built, from your network or from whatever it is, and kind of parlay that into your next thing. Let's look at that and figure that out together if we can. Yeah. And so, you know, business ownership is one of those things that's, I think you business owners are constantly evolving. They're really great at kind of always looking for the next thing.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes, a lot of the times in that situation, the business owner already knows what they want to do next. That's the funny thing, is it's almost like they need permission to go and do it. And
yeah, that reassurance.
Reassurance of, yeah, you can absolutely go and do this for a living. I mean, I've been through a little bit of that on my own, where I really wanted to, you know, and I'm in the process of right now transitioning from, you know, being a marketing agency owner to only doing speaking and coaching and consulting with business owners. And, you know, when I made this transition, I needed reassurance. You know, I sought out some of my own coaches to be like, is this, you know, does this make sense to you? And you know, of course they were like, yeah, go for it. But sometimes business owners, it's lonely at the top. That's one of the things that causes burnout for business owners, is you literally, even if you do have a partner, sometimes you are it. There is nobody above you. There's no HR to go to fix your problem. There's there's nobody above you. You don't have a boss to go to, you know? And so that's why I think that, being that loneliness that a lot of business owners feel at the top causes burnout. And that's why having support networks, having a coach, or having, you know, a mastermind group or a networking group that where you feel like you can tell those people almost anything. That's the key, is that you feel like you can be vulnerable with them.
Right.
That is so important for a business owner to prevent burnouts in the future.
So it's probably good for someone to reach out and get a business coach, to get a business management coach or leadership coach, to really, you know, they can actually express how they're feeling, get the stress off their back, and maybe get some good advice as well.
Yeah. And Stacey, as you know, I mean, there are multiple types of coaching. You know, sometimes you might need a life coach. Sometimes you need a business coach. Sometimes you might need a leadership coach. There are so many different varieties of coaches. And I'm a big believer in, you know, having a few that you might go to for different things as you go through. You know, I have a coach she calls herself a wayfinder, you know, and that, like, I would go to her for just about anything, but she's not going to be the one who digs into my financials with me and helps me figure out something there, you know? It's good to have those. You've got to, like, building those relationships before you need them, I think, is really important as well.
I think one of the things I find too, is that I find with business owners, a lot of them try to take the role of doing everything. Even though they have people under them, they feel like they're responsible for everything, and that it's not going to get done unless they're there or they're doing, you know, on top of everybody, when, you know, they just, you know, they are afraid to take a step back, you know.
Yeah.
How do you help that person who feels like they need to, even though they have people working for them and they are good leaders, they feel like they can't let go. It's their baby. They have to be there. They have to make sure everything's supervised properly. But by doing that, they're burning themselves out.
And it's funny, because micromanaging is something that I look for, that tells me a business owner might be burned out when they feel like they have to be in everything. And usually the way that I kind of help a business owner back out of that is, first of all,
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drawing attention to it and saying, you know, this is micromanaging, and, you know, just naming it. I think sometimes just the awareness that they're doing it.
Right.
Sometimes they don't know they're doing it.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the step back from that is they see the impact their micromanaging has on the people. And right. They want to keep their best people, and micromanaging is the easiest way to get your best people to quit, basically.
Yeah.
So one of the easiest ways. So when I'm dealing with a business owner who struggles with that, once we kind of get back to a stable, you know, more stable place, what I help them do a lot of the times is set up guardrails, because your people are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
And the only way a business owner can have comfort with that is knowing that they're not going to make, you know, they may run into the guardrail, but they're not going to drive the car off the ravine and into the water. Like, it's not going to be like, if you help your people set up guardrails, mm-hmm. so they know how far they can go. And guardrails can be, you know, a budget, or, you know, you can spend X number of hours a week on this project, or, you know, helping them reprioritize. Well, this, I know these were our priorities last week, but this opportunity has come up, so I want that to go to the top of your priority list. And I understand, business owner understands that means there maybe are a couple of things that aren't going to get done this week.
Right.
Just helping the business owner find comfort with, you know, that their people aren't going to do everything exactly the way that they would do them, but they're going to be within the boundaries and within guardrails that the business owner is comfortable with. That's how we help business owners kind of let go of some of that micromanaging tendency.
Right. Like, you know, in the last 2.5 years with COVID, it kind of knocked businesses down so badly. You had so many businesses closing up, and businesses that were able to survive aren't doing as well, even though it's been 2.5 years. They're trying to build up the loss that they incurred, you know, from the last 2.5 years that they've gone through. Like, how do you help those people? Because those people are experiencing burnout because they're trying to do it, you know, they're trying to just like double time it, you know, they want to get back to where they were, and that, you know, they're obviously not. So how do you help someone like that?
I, you know, in that situation, I think the first thing that we have to do is kind of look at what is sustainable. Are you trying to get back to something that doesn't exist anymore?
Right.
You know, are you trying to get yourself back to an operational standpoint? For example, before COVID, a lot of restaurants did not offer any meal delivery.
No.
So now, if a restaurant is trying to get back to that, is that sustainable? Now, for some, probably like high-end restaurants, but for most restaurants, there is now an expectation that you can get your food, that a consumer can get their food delivered to their door.
Yeah.
So trying to back out of that is nearly, I mean, I would say that's almost impossible at this point for most restaurants. So,
yeah.
You know, if there was a business owner in that scenario, I would, first of all, just a reality check of, is this what you're trying to get back to sustainable?
Yeah.
Was it sustainable to begin with? Were you already working? Was what you were doing pre-COVID sustainable in the first place? You know, yeah. Were you working 80 hours a week and now you're trying to work 100 hours a week?
Right.
To get back there. So there's a sustainability issue with some of those scenarios. So that's the first thing we have to look at. And then it's, okay, so it is sustainable. We want to get back to this. You're working too much. Again, it comes back to, where can we make space so that you don't get burned out? Where are there any margins available in your calendar? And even though, you know, even though most people feel like there aren't, there usually are some places where we can find pockets of time. And if we can't find pockets of time, it's almost like, okay, well then what can you sit down and do all at once for a month and then get it off your plate instead of doing an hour here, an hour there, you know,
right.
And thinking about it. So that's another way that we look at it. And then sometimes the mental weight of making decisions is another thing that I see business owners really struggle with and that can lead to burnout.
Yeah, I see that.
And so sometimes just making a decision and moving forward with it is what business owners really need help with. And
right.
You know, I help them with that. I have a background in accounting and marketing, and now, you know, I'm a leadership coach, and I've got a pretty broad experience from a resume perspective. So,
yeah,
you know, I can really help them kind of think through a lot of different avenues and just make a decision and then move forward with it. I think right. that helps those individuals a lot, because, you know, some of them have been stuck for, you know, 2.5 years trying to think through making a decision, buying right. a new location, closing a location.
Yeah.
And those are things that I've talked to business owners about. And sometimes they just need that third party coach, you know, mentor, call it what you want to call it, consultant.
Right.
They need that person from the outside looking in and saying, okay, let's talk about it. What do you really want to do? Here's what I see. Let's talk about some more. Let's make a decision.
Right.
Move forward with the decision.
Now, if you had to give somebody some tips on how to prevent burnout, and then what, you know, what would you actually tell them, you know, a business owner that has a lot on their plate?
Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would say is revisit some of your past burnout stories. So go, because your past is one of your best teachers. And I know,
yes.
you know, we spend a lot of time talking about being in the present, but looking back at your past is one of your best teachers. So the first thing I have them do is kind of go back through and look at their past, and not every single burnout or every single challenging time, but look at a couple of those past times, and then identify what were some warning signs that burnout was coming. So then we go back to, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I was canceling doctor's appointments, I was, you know, forgetting to email a client, I was, you know, forgetting to pick my kid up at school. Like, there's a lot of these things that I've heard.
Yes.
So the second step is, what does burnout look like for you? What are the warning signs? And then what I have them do is I have them say, okay, this is baseline. This is normal. I'm picking my kid up from school 3 days a week. And then burnout is, I've forgotten my kids, you know, every day for a week or two, something like that. So that's burnout, right? Or I've forgotten them at all, you know?
Yeah.
Somewhere in between there, you might do it once, or you might run really late one day.
Yeah.
That is when you got to start paying attention, because you've kind of moved off your normal or your baseline, and you're now in that danger zone of burnout.
Right.
So being aware of that kind of thing is really what can help business owners prevent burnout. And then, you know, having a plan for turning that around, having a plan for who would you ask for help before you need to ask them?
Yeah.
You know, knowing who those people are before you need to ask them.
Yeah.
You know, just having those plans of how would I turn this around? Or, you know, if I'm not sleeping well, I start getting ready for bed an hour earlier, you know,
right.
those types of things. You want to have those. It's like having a banker in place before you need them.
Yeah.
You want to have your prevention plan in place before you need it.
Exactly.
And so just knowing what it looks like for you is really very, very important to preventing burnout in the first place.
That's an excellent point, is that you should always have a plan. Really think about, you know, if you have a business and you are a leader, or you are trying to teach people to be leaders, and you are getting overwhelmed of all the responsibility in your business, you should have a plan, a prevention plan, before the actual mm-hmm. burnout occurs. So be aware of the symptoms, so you mm-hmm. know when you actually are falling into it, and then have a plan so you can prevent it, so it doesn't get to the point where you're actually falling into a hole and it's too deep right now for you to get out all by yourself.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, usually it's designing, you know, what do you want your ideal day to look like, both from, you know, the personal side and the business side, because
right.
that's another thing that I think the term work-life balance for business
yes.
owners is... That's a hard thing, because
yeah, it is.
It's so intertwined. Our businesses
yeah.
and our personal lives are so intertwined. And I think accepting that, and then understanding like how you want those
yeah.
parts of your lives to look, that is, just accepting that it's intertwined can help business owners, you know, stop feeling guilty about trying to find that balance all the time and being so rigid about it. Because there are weekends you're going to work, you know, but, you know, maybe one of your boundaries, your absolute do not cross boundaries, is you don't work when you're on vacation.
Right.
You know, so knowing what you want those to look like, but also understanding that it's more about finding harmony between the two.
Yes.
And constantly juggling and feeling this need to be like 50-50 all the time. I think it's more about finding the harmony that between the two than it is about balancing.
Okay. Everything. So, you know, you can't really say, okay, I'm only going to work 8 hours. I'm only going to work 9 hours or whatever the case may be when you're a business owner. It's not always going to be like that. So it's a waste of time to really to try to plan it like that. But, you know, in your head or on paper, try to figure out something that's going to be a balance. So you have enough of time to be with your family. You have enough of quality time to renew yourself, you know, figure out a, like a plan where you could have, like you said, a little bit of everything.
And I think it's when we start defining our life by hours, that's where it gets really kind of sticky. It gets hard to do that. For me, it's what I recommend is business owners define more of their life by action. So, you know, I want, let's say you have a child that plays a sport.
Yeah.
You want to be at, you know, 75% of their games. Okay. Right. That's not an hours thing. That's a hard number that you can figure out and then get it on your schedule, you know. Or if it's work, you know, it might be like, I'm going to, on Mondays, I'm going to do this one thing until it's done. And if I work 12 hours, then I work 12 hours, but it's going to balance out the other part of the week. So I think it's defining things by hours, defining action by hours is really tough for business owners. So I think it's more about the actions that you want to take and the skills you want to learn and the hobbies you want to have and saying that I'm going to do that, you know, a certain number of times a month is much easier than saying I'm going to work, you know, 50 hours a week and spend, you know, X number of hours with my kids. Cause I don't think that that's sustainable week to week because things change so much for business owners week to week.
I agree with you. Definitely. Now tell me about this awesome book that's coming out. I want to hear more about it. Now tell everybody the title.
Yeah. So the title is The Business Owner's Guide to Burnout. And it will be out in 2024. Pre-sales will start in 2023. So we're super excited about that. But, you know, this came out of my own experience with burnout and talking to business owners. Every business owner I've talked to has told me a story, at least one story about their own burnout. And in the summer of 2021, I actually went through a pretty significant burnout. And when I looked for resources for business owners, I couldn't find them. They were all about employee burnout or, you know, lawyer or professional or medical burnout, which that makes total sense at the time.
Yeah.
There was not a resource. And so I have these steps that I've worked in the past and I just finally put them all together into a system. Mm-hmm. And I wrote a book. And so this book is basically, it's a system that helps business owners go from everything to making space to creating a burnout prevention plan to actually leveraging their burnout that they experience into, you know, one of their, a new opportunity. And I'm really excited about it because it's a much needed resource. There isn't a resource out there that's going to be all in one, you know, one place and one book. And I'm really excited to help business owners with their burnout.
And, you know, it's true. You don't really see many articles or information about business owners having burnout. Most of the time it's geared more towards the employees than anything else. That's what I see.
Which is valid and needed.
Yes.
I kind of laugh about that a little bit because often when your employees are burned out, it's because the business owner is burned out.
So that's true.
Like if we deal with the source, you know, maybe the employees
get to the gut,
be burned
root
out.
Source. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a funny thing that I often see. And if you think you're dealing with your own burnout is bad, when you're dealing with your burnout, when your behaviors have caused your employees to burn out, that's a totally different, and I've seen it and I've worked with business owners through that, but that's a totally different ball of wax. So you can deal with your own first, know, have it end there, that's the most ideal.
Now, is this book going to be global? Like, is it distributed, globally so they can get it everywhere, basically?
Yeah. So what's really cool is my publisher is actually, they're the same publishing house that published Traction, which is a really popular business ownership book by Gino Wickman. And the publisher under that is interesting how the whole publishing world works. But anyways, Matt Holt has been involved with projects like The E-Myth. He got that one out. He's just had like a lot of New York Times best-selling books. And so he really knows what he's doing as well. So I'm really excited to have him to be on his team and, for us to be partnered up. So yeah, it'll be available everywhere, online, Amazon, bookstores, on all of the all of the websites. And yeah, you'll be able to get it pretty much. There'll be an audio book as well. So pretty much however you want to consume this book, when it comes out, you'll be able to get it.
Now, is this your first book? Have you written books previously?
I laugh because I say I've written like 10 books, but this is my first official published book. Yeah.
Oh, congratulations. Book.
Yes. Thank you. I'm
very excited.
I am so excited. Getting a book contract on my first book was a huge confidence booster, but also I think it just speaks to the need for this. Clearly, Matt and Ben Bella saw the need for this book as well.
Yeah.
And I am really excited to help business owners because I have had so many conversations to the point one person I talked to recently said to me, I don't really know when I've ever not been burned out.
Yeah.
As a business owner, it's a serious problem. Business owners are so crucial to the economy in general. I'm not going to get into a lot about that, but I mean, small businesses employ most of the workforce in the United States. And it's, we got to take care of them, and we got to get over, I think there's a stigma around business owners feeling like not being able to talk about their burnout. And, I don't know, we got to take care of our business owners because they are really, they're the main employers of the economy, and they also put a lot back into the community.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm a business owner and I have a big heart for other business owners, but when you look at it kind of on the bigger scale of the country and really the world, they're so important and vital. And, I just think it's important to try to help them not burn out so that they can continue doing the good work that they do.
And I think too, our society tries to give like a stigmatism where business owners have to be strong. They have to be tough. They have to be resilient to these things, and, they can't, show weakness, and even that, a lot of the older generation, we were taught not to show weakness. So then they're feeling burnt out, but in their head, in society, the way they were brought up, all these things, they think they have to suck it up and they can't really, show anybody what they're going through.
You got to fake it till they make it.
That's a perfect saying.
Yeah. And there's a time for that. There's a time and a place for that. I mean, you don't want to go around to every networking event, saying like, oh yeah, business sucks right now. I'm dealing with this really crappy thing.
Yeah.
But you do, business owners do need at least one other person that they can be really real with, whether it's, and I suggest it not be their significant other spouse.
Right.
Whether that's
an outside source, you need someone with an unbiased, opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it can come in a lot of forms. There's a lot of great programs available to business owners out there. And it can also be through coaching. I mean, I'm even, I'm a big proponent of therapy. I think sometimes it's a therapist that a business owner needs,
Oh, definitely.
But I think again, it has to be okay. Like the business owner, it has to be okay for the business owner to not be okay somewhere.
Right.
They need that somewhere because business ownership is hard. It is a hard job.
Yes.
And yes, we all chose it. Most of us chose it for ourselves, and it is still a very hard job.
It is.
So I think the more recognition and awareness around that we can get out there, the more okay other business owners will feel about talking about, you know, being vulnerable with someone about the stress they have.
Yeah. And let's not forget 70% of stress causes illness. So when you're under all this stress and you're not getting help and you're not reaching out, like we said before, it could affect your health and it can affect your mental health, physical health, everything.
All of it. Yeah. I interviewed a business owner who said she knew she was burnt out because her right arm didn't work for 2.5 years.
Wow.
And she finally figured out, like, all of these doctors could not figure out what it was. It was stress.
Stress.
It was burnout.
I believe it.
And it's crazy. Like, sometimes it takes you that long to figure it out. And that, again, is why I'm like, yeah, when you're stress can cause that kind of stuff in your body. Like, it can legitimately burnout can cause all of that.
Yes, it definitely can.
It's a legitimate physical health problem and a mental health problem if you don't take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Now, your website. Can you tell everybody your website?
Yeah, my website is thejulieb.com. And my last name is spelled B as in boy, E-E, like a bumblebee. So that's my real name. But yeah, it's thejulieb.com. And you can find all kinds of resources there. And I have a podcast called They Don't Teach This in Business School. So that's also on the website as well.
Now, do you do it monthly or daily or weekly, your podcast?
My podcast is weekly, and it's a mix of interviews similar to this one, and then really short kind of, I would say 6 to 10 minute episodes where I'm just talking about one idea and probably tell a little story of my own, and then it's just a short episode. So it's usually every other week I do an interview, and then in between those, it's one of my shorter episodes.
Oh, very cool. And they can find all the information and they can get the link to listen to all your podcasts on your website.
Yep. They can get it at thejulieb.com, and my social handles are on there as well. So you can find pretty much anything you want to find out about me is on that website.
And do you provide also a blog? Maybe they can read some articles, get some information and stuff.
Yep. There's a blog on there as well. And I'm trying to think of what else is on there. Yeah. And anything about my services is on there. How you can book me as a speaker is on there as well. So the website is the place to be.
I love it. You know, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. This is a topic we really need to talk about, because especially now, you know, business owners are going through a lot of stress for many different reasons. And even before COVID, you know, business, it's a lot of work to be a business owner. You're holding up, you know, the fort. And if you don't know how to, you know, properly, you know, distribute your leadership qualities, and if you don't know how to teach others to be leaders, you know, beneath you, a lot of things could happen, you know. And, you know, that's how failure with businesses occur. That's how stress occurs, you know, health problems, you name it. You know, you need to have a plan. Like you said, you need to know the symptoms, and you need to have a prevention plan, and you need to understand how to properly distribute leadership and also prevent burnout. So this is great. Yeah. I'm so glad you came onto the show, and you've been a wonderful guest, and thank you so much. And is there anything you'd like to tell the audience before we go? Is there anything?
I don't think so. I think you just wrapped it up there, but I would just say, you know, just, you know, take care of yourself. If you're a business owner, really anybody, just that, you know, burnout affects pretty much everyone. So just know the signs, have a plan, and lean into your support network. Definitely make sure you have that. I think that's really crucial in pretty much every scenario. So
that's a great, you know, that's a great closing line. Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. You know, once again, thank you, Julie, for being on the show. And I hope to, you know, see you soon, come back maybe as a guest later on. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck with your book. Congratulations.
Thanks, Stacy.
You have a great day.
You too.
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo!
Chumba! live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.